This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Eisenberg from BaltimoreRavens.com says it's like a reality TV show. There's lots of drama in that position, and I think he's figured it all out. What's going on, John?
Not much. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well. The real tight ends of Baltimore is what you call it. Now, if Ed and I made something that title, would have a different theme. But what's going on with this position, and how will the Ravens remedy this?
Well, what's going on, I think, as a lot of fans know, is they had a few months ago, they had a half dozen candidates for snaps at that position. And they're down two from then. I mean, I was trying to be lighthearted. It's not very funny, of course. I mean, Dennis Pitta suffers what's probably a career-ending injury. Darren Waller is suspended for the year for the violating the substance abuse policy. So they're down to four, and all four of those guys have some questions surrounding them. And you know, it remains to be seen who mans that position, if they have someone to man that position in 2017. I mean, my inclination is that they do. I think Benjamin Watson is coming back from, a serious injury, the same injury that Steve Smith had the year before. And he's the oldest player on the team, so you can wonder about whether he's able to do that. But watching him in the spring practices, I think he's going to be out there. So I think that would settle things down considerably. But, you don't know at this point, so it's very much a question as to who will be playing tight end for the Ravens.
Well, John, also a question, our draft pick, because even when they had a full complement, I felt like they didn't have a real standout tight end. I mean, everyone has flaws, including Pitta, who couldn't block, and he was oft injured. But now we talked to people from Tampa yesterday, a guy from the Tampa Tribune. He mentioned that Jameis Winston said he never saw a big man move like this, talking about O.J. Howard, and we had a crack at him at 16.
Oh, definitely had a crack at him and a crack at some other players. So, that's something that, as always, needs to be monitored going forward. It's not necessarily you don't just monitor how your draft pick's doing. It's some of those guys you could have had. So believe me, it'll look good at times. It'll look bad at times. We'll see. But Howard was a great player, and he was there. It could have solved that. But I don't know the Ravens. They've already invested a lot of resources in this position in draft picks and free agent signings and I guess. This really, really was a classic example, I think, of they just went with who they was at the top of their board. And Marlon Humphreys was there, and so they took him. So for whatever reason, I'm not in the room there, that's who they thought the guy was. And was it a position of immediate need? No, not after they've, signed Brandon Carr and have Jimmy Smith. But, John Harbaugh has been outspoken in saying how tired he was of being undermanned at cornerback and watching games and seasons go down the drain because of cornerback. And it will be interesting to see whether or not they end up needing Humphreys this year, because they might.
Here with John Eisenberg, BaltimoreRavens.com. John, Zachary Orr announced his retirement back in December, I believe it was.
January.
Now he's coming back to the NFL, he's doing his tour, trying to land with another team. You wrote something back at the end of June saying that Zachary Orr's safety has and should continue to come first. What do you know about this situation? When did the Ravens find out that he intended to come back? Exactly how did this thing unfold?
Well, I think they found out the day before he announced it to everybody. That's my understanding. I don't know if there were rumblings, if there were inklings or not, and whether they had heard. Well, Zach has now told the story that over a period of weeks he's been looking at to find doctors who could validate his thought that he could still play with this injury, or it's not an injury. It's a condition. It's a birth. I mean, he was born with it. So, you know, the Ravens doctors told him he couldn't. He's found some people that have said that he can. So he's shopping his services. How the other teams will react to it, I can't tell you. This is a complex story, and it's really tough to comment on because a lot of it involves medical science and different opinions of different tests. And so you're standing between doctors is what you're doing. And it's very tough to sort of ascertain where right or wrong lies. And what I wrote is that, you know, I don't know. I don't know the science. I don't know the medicine. You know, we're in pretty much the fine points of spinal conditions here and what's right or wrong. I just know that certainly the Ravens acted in this young man's best interest when they told him he thought he could play. I mean, the last thing they wanted to do was tell their top tackler that he can't play football anymore or that they wouldn't pass a physical. So it was not in their best interest, but they put his interest first. And I would say continue to do that because I don't know what's right or wrong here, but boy, I would be very cautious with this young man.
Oh, boy. Ever. Just looking at the team now, and it's tough. You know, they say never fall in love with a man in shorts because nobody's been hitting yet. But how do you feel about the team now, given, you know, who they picked up in free agency and how we've done the draft?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see because I mean there's definitely holes. I mean, and just about every team has holes, you know, that they're worried about. Certainly, it's the offensive line here at this point at center and right tackle. Remains to be seen what happens there, or whether they're going to go with young guys who have sort of come up through the system. I don't know, but certainly on defense, there's a lot of jobs to be won in the interior. The secondary should be really strong. You know, after all that they put into it with free agent money and draft picks, I think the secondary will be strong, and I think that's going to help at the end of a lot of games. So I think that's reason to be a little bit encouraged, and certainly Jeremy Mack on that helped things on the offensive side. But as always, you know, it's going to come down to how well is Joe Flacco playing. It's his second year removed from serious knee injury and surgery. He looked very solid in the spring season. I mean, he's moving well. There was no knee brace. He's going to play with it. But he certainly looked fluid and you know, I guess one could say a little more comfortable back there. And so a lot will depend on him. But, you know, they got a new philosophy on the running game. There's a lot to – I'm interested to see how it all plays out. I think there is some potential there.
Here with John Eisenberg, not only from BaltimoreRavens.com, but also a successful author. Your latest book, The Streak, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken Jr., and baseball's most historic record, one that I believe will never be broken.
Well, I believe that's true. On the day this book was published, the publishing date was July 4th, and on the day of publication, the active Major League consecutive game leader was Alcides Escobar, shortstop for the Kansas City Royals, 254 straight games. So only 2,378 to go, I think, to catch Cal. So I think it's only been 20 years or 22 years to be exact since he broke the record, but it's really been eliminated almost from Major League Baseball. There's a lot of reasons for that, as I get into in the book, and that's what makes that record so interesting, I think, in a lot of respects, that, you know, it's a record. I mean, no one's trying to break it anymore. You think they're trying to break the home run record?
Yeah.
Yes. But they're not trying to break the consecutive game record anymore.
Who wants to play that long? You almost get the impression that who wants to play that long?
Yeah, or that long, or take a day off.
Right, yeah. Nobody take a day off ever. Yeah.
So, and, you know, these days with analytics, analytics definitely gives major league managers a lot of reasons to rest guys, even their best guys on some nights. Big contracts, medical, you know, sports medicine, everything's changed and a lot, and guaranteed money. I mean, if a guy's even hit or miss to go, they're going to sit him if they've got $100 million invested in him. So there's a lot of reasons why people aren't playing every day anymore, and I do believe that means the Cal streak will last forever.
Where can our listeners pick up the book, The Streak?
Well, anywhere, any local bookstore. It's a major publisher with big distribution. Also, Amazon.com. And, it should be anywhere. Just had a great review in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, so off to a great start.
Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate you, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, definitely.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.